This morning's scripture reading. This morning's scripture reading comes from John, the first chapter, verses 15 through 17. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was written through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ."
If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to kind of stick your fingers in Leviticus chapter 18, John chapter 14, and Titus chapter 3. And to make your life a little more difficult this morning, I'm not going to do them in that order. Leviticus 18, John 14, and Titus chapter 3. I would like to welcome you to the Post-Christian World Restaurant Extraordinaire. I am Dennis, and I am going to be your server today. Now, wait just a minute. I don't feel like being Dennis today. Well, let me start that over. I am Denise, and I am going to be your server today. Now, it's at this time that I would like to offer you some rolls. Now, if you like, you can call them bread, or if you wish, you can call it biscuits. But you know, in your own world, you can call them chicken, or lasagna, or even sushi. Whatever you want to do is all good. Who are we to judge? Now, here's our menus. I must warn you that each of these menus only have some elements of truth in them, and none of them have it all figured out. And now is the time where I would offer you recommendations, but who am I to tell you what to do with your life? You see, we're not like that pizza place down the road. They make you all eat just pizza. But here you can eat whatever you want, as long as you don't hurt the land, the bodies of water, the rocks, the sand, the air, the ozone layer, or Pluto. Now, I must warn you that you may not like the food here. However, tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. So even though you may prefer something else to eat, or you might think of complaining to the manager, remember your G's and B's. Grin it and bear it. And if you misbehave, I want you to know that we will not tolerate it. Now, that might have to sink in just a little bit if you think about it. We are all involuntary customers in this post-Christian world restaurant. And for some of us here today, probably many of us, it really wants to make us throw up. And if I can think of one verse and two sentences of our Lord that contradicts this post-Christian worldview that takes place over and over, is John chapter 14 and verse 6. It is the words of Jesus Christ that caused them to weep and gnash their teeth. where Jesus tells his apostles here in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. This makes our post-Christian world throw up. They don't want to hear it. All ways lead to heaven. All ways lead to nirvana. All ways lead to eternity. And truth, there's no truth. It's all relative. We know that. And life, you tell me about life. It's my life, and I can live my life any way that I want to live my life. Say that three times real fast. And so if we are going to be Christ-like in this post-Christian world, we are going to have to take the words of Jesus Christ, and we are going to have to live them and do them and accept them and believe in them while the rest of the world spits it out. This morning, I would like to encourage us all to focus on the way, the truth, and the life of Christ so that we can live Christ-like in this post-Christian world. And Jesus declares, I am the way. You know, if you had a ship a little over 100 years ago, and you wanted to go from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean, you would have to have traveled all the way down the coast of South America and around the bottom and come back up to get into the Pacific Ocean. And a little over 100 years ago, the United States completed the Panama Canal. So it made that voyage faster, easier, and safer. Now I want us to think symbolically for a moment that God is the Pacific Ocean, and that we are in the Atlantic, and we have these little pathetic vessels that we're in, dinghies, really, if you want to think about it that way. And we truly have no hope of getting around South America to the Pacific Ocean in these pathetic little boats. There's just no way we can do it. And yet we read in our text in John 14 and verse 6, that Jesus says, I am the way. What does that mean? Jesus, does that mean that you are the boat leading the way, showing us how to get there? No. Does that mean that you are pointing this way and showing us the direction? No. Jesus is saying, I am the way. In our symbolism, Jesus is saying, I am the Panama Canal. You're not getting to God unless you go through me. And what this does to us is that it humbles us. And we realize that on our own, we have no shot of making this journey. In this vessel that we occupy, this flesh that is full of its passions and pleasures, that we have to have Jesus and his way because it is the only way. Now, if you will, turn to Titus chapter 3. I think in Titus chapter 3 here, Paul reminds us of this humility because it influences on how we treat others. Starting in verse 3 of Titus chapter 3, Paul writes, For we ourselves were also foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating others. But after that, the kindness of and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing through Jesus Christ our Savior. And if you continue to read on and on, you're going to see the spiritual blessings that we receive. And as we look out here in this post-Christian world, we got to remind ourselves constantly that we are not to think that we're all that. Because if you'll notice that we or in those shoes. That we're not to be this self-righteous people that we think we are because we walked that path at one time in our lives. But I want us to notice the beginning of verse 3. Because in that beginning word is a conjunction, the word for. And that tells us that we have to go to the previous verse. And in verse 2, it tells us here that we are to speak evil to no one, that we are not to be brawlers, that we are to be gentle, showing meekness to all men because we walked those shoes ourselves. And so as much as we want to ball up our fist and call down thunder and lightning on this post-Christian world, we need to remember that we were in their shoes once and that we were in need of a way. And Jesus provided that way. For Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus also said, I am the truth. Now, I hope you have your seat belts on and your trays in the upright position where we're fixing to take a quick journey through the book of John. If you will, I want you to look at these verses with me because we need to emulate this truth that Jesus is. And we're going to start out by going to John 1 and verse 14. And it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Listen to that again. Full of grace and truth. There was a preacher by the name of Tozer, and he had written something that goes something like this. If we were only full of truth, the world will think that it cannot be saved. But if we think that we're only full of grace, the world will think that it doesn't need to be saved. Therefore, we must be full of grace and truth. Go with me to John chapter 4. You know, there was a basketball player by the name of Paul Pierce. And in his rookie season, he played against Shaquille O'Neal. And after the game, they were interviewing Shaquille O'Neal, and they asked him about Paul Pierce. And Shaq said, boy, that man is not a faker. He is the real deal. He is the truth. And from that moment on, Paul Pierce, in his basketball moniker, was known as Paul Pierce, the truth. I want us to see the challenges as true worshipers that we find in John 4 and verse 23. But as the hour comes and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. And yes, there is meaning in that John shares the word about truth with us. For here he's telling us, do not be a faker. Be real. Be authentic. Worship God with all your heart and with all your soul. And now we go to John 6 and verse 32. Everyone is showing up. Just before these words, Jesus fed the day before the 5,000. And all these people showed up. And they're saying, let's go. You fed us yesterday. Feed us today. But the thing is that they are not going to want to eat what Jesus is about to serve. You see, Moses in the wilderness, he served fake bread. It wasn't the real deal. And how do I know it was fake? Because they ate the bread and they all died. They did not live eternally. They did not live forever. Jesus says in John 6 and verse 32, verily, verily, I say to you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. And later in verse 35, just a couple of verses down, he says, I am the bread of life. Now, friends, brethren, we in the body of Christ better be offering up true bread to this post-Christian world. We cannot offer up this fake stuff. How are we bringing people to the Father? Is it through the truth, or is it something less real? Another one, John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them in truth, for your word is truth. Now we can substitute that word sanctify with purify and cleanse, because basically with the Greek word it means just that. And we need to be able to sanctify them by our words. John 15 and verse 3. Jesus tells them that you are now clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Now if we back up just a couple of chapters to John 13 and verse 10. After Peter said to Jesus, wash my feet, my hands, and my head. Jesus tells them, he that is washed needs not save to wash his feet, but is clean every small part. And you are clean, but not all. Now, if you back up just a hair in verse 11, he said, you are not all clean. Of course, this is reference to Judas. If Judas were to occupy a pew in the Lord's church today, Judas would be the one that would be at all the services. He would be the one that would be at all the Bible studies and all the activities. But you see, even though Judas was with Jesus for 3 years, the truth of the matter is, it's not just hearing the words that make you clean. You have to believe those words. You have to accept those words. You have to allow those words to transform you. So if you've been a Christian 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, your whole life, look back and ask yourself, am I the exact same person I was when I was baptized? If you say, yes, I am, you've got a problem, because you have not been transformed. You are staying the same. You are sitting here and listening to the words, but I'm here to tell you that while you were baptized and your sins were forgiven, you haven't changed. And if you are not going to be doers of the word, my friends, if you're not going to allow God's words to transform you into something else, you're going to have a problem. We cannot be just hearers of the word. My friends, we must be doers. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Quickly turn to Leviticus chapter 18. If your Bibles have titles or subtitles, it may say something like keeping God's commandments or unlawful sexual practices. As we see more and more of the darkness in this world and the direct violations of this chapter, we see it more and more each as every day passes. In verses 4 and 5 of Leviticus chapter 18, God says, you shall walk in my judgments and keep my ordinances. To walk in them, I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does so, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. Friends, these words are more than just a command. There is life in these words. Stay away from dead stuff, because you're going to get germs and diseases. Stay away from the sexual immorality stuff, because you are going to streamline the genetic pool and you are going to cause the death of you. Right? We believe that, but the world doesn't. Our society doesn't see this stuff, but it's real. If we want to live a better life, do what God says.
However, Jesus says, I am the light. You know, this post-Christian world is going to continue to change. It is going to look less and less like the promised land and more like the land in which Paul lived. Where Paul says, I die every day. And if there is one thing to look to, that we are to be pitied by the way we live life. We are going to be faced with a choice in this life. We are looking kind of at the future in which many of us here are fearful for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Are we going to trust in the Lord, or are we going to listen to what's going on around us? One last passage, and then we're through. John 11 and verse 25. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So, my friends, in this post-Christian world, remember to live in the way and the truth and the life of Jesus Christ. You'll make it through. You'll make it through. If you are not, a Christian as the Bible teaches, if you have not obeyed that gospel through repentance and confession, and through the washing of sins through baptism, we want to give you that opportunity this evening or this morning. You know, living in this post-Christian world is hard enough. But you know, if you have hope, it does help tremendously. It does. And if you are living a life with no hope, you're just not even living. You're just dead men walking. So we want to give you that opportunity to put hope in your life through the obeying of the gospel. And maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you have been drawn to this post-Christian world. Maybe the thoughts of, well, I don't see anything wrong with this has worked its way into the back of your mind. If it is not God's commands, if it is not God's pattern for a Christian life, then it is not of God, and you need to repent of those things. And God will forgive you with a heartfelt repentance. If there's anyone that has a need this morning, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.